one night
they were in the mountains of Judea, I think it was. There's some shepherds out there keeping their sheep. There are something that caused fear upon man. When you actually sense you might be in God's presence, no matter who you are, atheist, persecutor, shepherd, false prophet, scary. So while they were there, suddenly light shone around them. And there was the angel of the Lord. Scary. John was a holy man of God. St. John, right? He had seen Jesus. He had seen him transfigured. He had seen the risen Christ. He had seen him ascend to heaven. He had seen many miracles. But the time when he saw him in the spirit and revelation, what happened to him? He said he fell at his feet as dead. And the Lord said, fear not. But those angels that night told those shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yeah. And suddenly, the atmosphere was filled with all, God said, the host of heaven. Yes, yes. The Bible did say that when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And they said, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Reason being, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus is so wonderful, so marvelous. I don't know how to, but it, we're still learning about Jesus. We're finding the things about him that it boggles and staggers the mind. Jesus is larger than life, larger than our imaginations. One time, Peter had a root. Sometimes, in life, you can have an Isaiah chapter 6 experience. Remember when Isaiah saw the Lord? Peter had a like experience on this wise. He went out one night to fish. Big plan, big preparation. And went out there and they fished all night. Now, this man knew how to fish. But for some reason, that night, they fished all night, and they caught nothing. Frustration. Waste of money. Time. Our whole day's job, we lost. I imagine he was very frustrated. And we're in there, and then they had a task of maybe putting all the things together, putting everything back in place, so forth. It was very frustrating. The voice came to him and says, and very nice and very respectable, saying, sir, could you run a little bit for me, please? Let me speak to the people. But it was a Nazarene. So sometimes you might be in a mood, but if Christ wants to see you, kind of get yourself back in shape a little bit. And you couldn't, when the Lord asked something, you couldn't say no. No matter if you were in a bad mood or whatever, yes, Lord. And so they moved out. I imagine after the Lord began to speak, since never man speak like this man, he kind of took his mind out of fishing and whatever and so forth, got arrested. May kind of calm him down and so forth. But after he was finished speaking, he said something that blows Peter's mind away. This time he didn't ask, he told him. Launch out into the deep. And let thy net down for a draw. Yes. Wait a second. We fished all night. We didn't catch nothing. But there's something about this man. Yes. I don't know how to describe it. But there's something about this man And when he said it and he explained to him, we fished all night, we caught nothing, but nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. So when they went out there and let down their nets, I mean, they read about miracles, they read about what this was larger than life. They got so much fish, somebody got to come and help him, and both boats began to sink. And something clicked in Peter's mind. Wait a second. This is not normal. His eyes begin to open. He has dealt with the Lord. He has seen him, but there's something now. He realized he was standing in the presence of God. No matter how holy you think you are, when you sense that God is there, begin to search yourself, right? Making sure everything is just right. Peter found said, and he fell down at his feet and saying, depart from, he couldn't take it. Remember when Isaac cried out, woe is me, he said, I'm undone. Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Yes. The Lord said to one of those, fear not. He said, fear not. Praise the Lord. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. This Jesus, for God to be glorified in the highest, it had to be Jesus who did it. How can mankind glorify God in the highest? We can't do it for ourselves. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God had a plan, a glorious plan for yes, lost and sinful man from before the foundation of the world. Before God made the world, and God saw the end from the beginning. And he had this plan in none other than Christ Jesus. That through him, God will be glorified by mankind in the highest.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. Now the Lord did say one place, he doesn't do anything except he told the prophets, right? It's prophets. One time he spoke to Ezekiel. Chapter 43. God's memory is detailed. God doesn't forget nothing. He can tell you everything in detail. The Lord told Ezekiel, 43 and verse 7 says, son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defy. Neither they nor their kings by their whoredom nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in the settings of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them, and they have even defined my holy name by the abominations that they have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. God is a God of love, he's also a God of judgment. And so Israel, God suffered and bore long with them. But after a while, they'll take him away in judgment. He tells the prophet now that there will come a time when this will not happen anymore. Not in the place of my throne, not in the place of the soles of my feet. Verse 9 I'm going to read on says, now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. The Lord told Moses, see that thou doest all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. There's a pattern to God's house. The Lord said one time, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. Yes. Paul said one place to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. He told him, show the house to the house. Measure the pattern thereof. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house. There's a lot to learn after we get saved, isn't it? Show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, the going out thereof, the coming in thereof, and all the forms thereof. God wants to us to be filled with the knowledge of His will, the Bible says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That we might walk worthy of Him unto all pleasing, it says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Yes. But God wants us because that angel said, glory to God in the highest. Thank the Lord. And all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof. And all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain. What is that? The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. How can man attain to that experience? We think about most holy, we think about the inner court, right? Where God said the most holy place. This is the law and general rule of God's house. Who is able to build such a house? Let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. It's amazing how the Lord saved the Apostle Paul, right? It's amazing. Yes. Who would think that God would have saved him? Ananias had to be, of his mind, redirected. He said, Lord, we have heard a lot of things about this man. Who would think that he was a chosen vessel unto God? Paul said that God separated him from the womb and called him by his grace. What a marvelous change. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a change in the man. Praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, upon the top of the mountain. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We can glorify God in the high. God planned that before he made the world. Yes. That mankind whom he has chosen would be able to have this kind of life and standard, living all the days of their life. In that God foreplanned that it is possible for any one of us to live this way. Amen. Because it is the work of God. Yes. Amen. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's kind of staggering, isn't it? Yes, it is. But if we read on in this little passage, we're going to take time to read it. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Note, if you're going to see by Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus is larger than life. That's what I'll say. Everything hinged on Jesus. Yes. Mankind's destiny hangs in his hand and on his shoulder. Yes. John had a little inkling when he saw the vision in Revelation, which says, who, where can man be found, says to open the book and to loose the seven seals, they could find no man. Now, there are some very good men that walked the earth that we admire still today, like Noah, Job, Daniel, but none of them was worthy. All men need God, help from God, didn't they? But Christ came to the picture and turned this whole thing around. Okay, so he adopted us by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased God to save mankind, doesn't it? It pleased God to forgive mankind of all his sins. It pleased God to save Paul, didn't it? Paul had a rude awakening. He had a mindset to stamp out the name of Jesus. And it seemed like he was well on his way, he thought. Until he made a crash landing right into the rock, Christ Jesus. Praise God. So that day, when he saw that light and fell from his beast and heard the earth says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was baffled. What is this? I don't have words to explain it. But he didn't recognize who was speaking though. For he said, Who art thou, Lord? There's something about the voice of the Son of God when he wants to make himself known, he can't. I marvel in scriptures many times, dear people, they called him Lord. And I wonder why they call him Lord. The lady who was taken in the very act, as she observed him, I don't know how to say his actions, his ways, his demeanor, his answers, all these things, and what happened around. He asked a question, her answer was, No man, Lord. It's a blessing when we can see Jesus for who he is, isn't it? That was a changed woman, didn't you know that? What she saw in Jesus changed her life. Yeah, that's true. She was shaken to the core. I think about my little experience sometimes, and I marveled. I began to learn about my experience just this week. I realized what happened to me. I read a scripture where the Lord says, No man can come unto me except my Father draw him. That has to be true because Jesus said so. So there's something that happened in my life before I got saved that God was drawing me. So because when the young man who spoke to me called my name real loud and said, You're living without God, it shook me like a thunderbolt that everything in me dropped, and I knew I cannot keep on living the way I was living anymore. So it seemed like there was no decision. There was no altar call. There was no song singing. There was no preaching. I was just on the side of the road. That voice hit me very few. You're living without God. And I realized how foolish. It seemed foolish then. You're living without God. So it seemed like, it would almost seem like I was saved against my will, it looked like. It seemed that way. But what it was, the Father was drawing me all along. Yes. And it seemed like, Lord, at the right time, the right spot, the right event, and boom, there it was. And then it says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now I know whose voice it was. The young man spoke, but what I heard was the voice of the Lord. Because that voice, I don't know what I was said, I had a friend, my best friend was there. He tried to oppose what was being said. So the young man turned to me, and when he saw what was being left out, he came back and he joined him, and he humbled himself, and we got saved and together on the spot, my best friend. So God is wonderful. But I mean, I got saved for real. It was not, it seemed like I was just changed. It was all over. Actually, we were discussing the horse racing program. That was a favorite pastime. That went out the window. Right away. That out the window. I was changed the next day. I was well behaved. I was at home waiting for the night service that we were invited to all, with my Bible, reading the Bible and so forth. It was a great change. It was settling my heart to live for God forever. Yes, yeah, so something drastic. The voice of the Son of God. So he saved me according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased God to forgive me for my sins, and everyone would come to him. It says, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted, here goes again, in the blood. Again, in Christ, in whom also we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, when he has abided toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Look at the goodness of God. God delivered a plan to save a whole lot of people and give them eternal life. No matter what they did in life, all the sins, murder, genocide, whatever it was, to forgive their sins. Thank the Lord. So he did this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things again in Christ. What a wonderful Savior. Everything is in or through Jesus, which are on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. All God's children are rich. All God's children have a glorious future. Think of this glorious inheritance. Think being predestinated according to the purpose of him which worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, who was that? Who first trusted in Christ? That was the early morning church, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Paul said that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, when we read about these saints in Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles, what a blessing. What a marvel. How it inspires the heart. When we read these epistles, how we are so blessed. Paul said that we who first trusted in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. There it started. Now, it was said of them that these that have turned the world upside down, they glorify God in them. When we read about the amount of people that were saved and Paul passed to a city, half of the city got saved. Crowds and multitudes of people got saved. John saw a number which no man could number, sitting before the throne of God, clothed in white robes and crowned upon their head, saying, glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Amen. Now, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now let's look at these words, trusted. Lord, help me understand something as well. After decades, trusted. Or trust. Believe. Diligent. For us to give glory to God in the high, we have to trust God. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first knew what? They trusted in Christ. And their lives glorified God.
Yes.
So there's something about this trust in God. Look at it into a little further. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3. From verse 1. Says likewise, means there's something of further that relate to for this verse. Talk about how we should be subject to for reason, servants to their masters, to the law, so forth, one to another. But it says likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
What behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Living a life to glorify God. What behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. This is not just to the wife now. This is to any safe person. I think about Joseph. To me, he's a marvel. When you consider his age, we consider what he can read volumes in his actions. Might not be written there, but when you consider the thing he went through and how he stood firm for God, he can read volumes into it. It is very imperative that we live a life to glorify God. No matter what our situation, this young man was plucked out of all. Recall it. Taken away from his family and sold into slavery. You can imagine slavery to be very harsh, very overbearing, and the trauma. What else can we say? The grief, the loss, the loneliness. How did he survive? 17 years old. But there's something about Joseph. He went to work.
Yes.
But where did he learn how to live for God? Did he read the book of 1 Peter?
No.
Did he read about Romans?
No.
Where is it? So did he read Moses' law? So where got it from? Peter said that the word of God liveth and abideth forever.
Yes.
God's word was there. God could teach. Enoch, right? He walked with God. God could lead and guide those who put their trust in him. So Joseph knew the Lord. He went to work. And as he labored, applied himself and so forth in the fear of God, somebody was watching him. Somebody watched the young man, the teenager's life. And he saw something in Joseph.
Yes, he did.
Was beyond this world. Was not of this world. Was a standout. It was light. It could be seen in his ways and his actions. Chaste conversation coupled with fear. All the things he said about servants be obedient to your masters, it could be seen in his life. Showing all good fidelity, it could be seen in Joseph's life. His master saw that God was with him. Did that man know God? So it's very imperative. I'm going to back up a little bit. As Peter said, Chapter 2 and verse 9, 1 Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We might glorify God in the highest. This is very important. This is what Peter was talking about when he was talking about likewise your wife. Now even though your husband may not be saved, don't know God, infidel, when they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, they can read about it to your life.
That's right.
So it is very important that we, like it says over there in Ezekiel, show them the form of the house, the goings in, the coming out of in the things of God. You want to bring us to a full understanding of His will, that we might please Him well in all things. The Lord said again, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. Do you know? According to Scripture now, Peter says, that when they behold your life, that they can glorify God in the day of visitation. God can speak to them because of your life. That when God be with their heart, they have a reference. I want to be like Brother Paul, or whatever, Brother Peter, or whatever, so forth. Back to our First Peter reading. It says, whose adorning, let it not be the outward of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is inside of God of great price. It costs something. There are women, you know, in high society who can put deck themselves in all kinds of expensive jewelry and so forth, just cause some people to marvel or whatever and admire, but those things mean nothing and are despiteful in God's eyes. But there is an ornament. There is an ornament. What is an ornament? It's something to show for beauty, right? Enhance beauty. Adornment. To decorate. But the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit is in God's sight of great price. It's precious. He's glorified. Now verse 5 says, for after this manner in the old time, where did they get it from? The truth of the Lord endures, thank God, endures forever. After this manner in the whole time, the holy women, the holy women back there also. Who did what? Trusted in God. So that word trust is a deep word, isn't it? Yes, it is. To trust God means you're all out on God. That song, Psalm number 409, was very touching. You're all for God, all out on God. God is Lord of your life. Yes, that's what trusting in God means. And in that relationship, God can teach you of Himself. So back then they had this, that meek and quiet spirit. I think about Naomi and I think about Ruth. The Bible talks about a virtuous, I think it mentioned it twice, I don't know, in the Bible. Ruth was one. But the Bible says that the whole city knew that Ruth was a virtuous woman. Where did she get it from? It seemed like Naomi had a big impact upon her life. We could call Naomi a living epistle, right? From what she saw in Naomi, it inspired faith and confidence and allegiance with God. That nothing could, neither poverty, uncertainty, a bleak future, nothing could move her from that relationship with God. And Naomi, you're not leaving me here by myself. I'm going with you. Yes, you don't have any more sons. Yes, this and that, but entreat me not to leave thee. So may the Lord help us. Okay, now, believe. Jesus says one place. Well, somebody asked me a question. Let's go to St. John chapter 6. I was trying to figure out what the word believe meant for a long time, because what the thing that says about believe made me, wait a second, this, you know, in the English language, it seemed like maybe just accept a little bit of facts in your head, that's what it looked like. But the thing the Lord said about believe means there's a lot of substance in this word. So here the Lord told these Jews in 6 verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How can we glorify God? How can we live for the Lord? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he hath sent. Is it that simple? That's what the Lord said. That means there's something about this word believe. If you go back now to our Ephesians reading, chapter 1, where we left off, Paul said they trusted and they became the praise of his glory. Now verse 13 of 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard word of truth, in whom also after that ye believed. Then see, so these two words are similar. For trusted and believe mean essentially the same thing. In whom after that ye believe. Now believe means you're following God wholeheartedly. You're sold out. This is what believe means. After that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And in the book of Hebrews, it tells that some of the Jews couldn't cross over because of unbelief. It says, because of unbelief, they did not enter in. And unbelief breaks down to neglect and disobedience. But if we follow God with our whole heart, God has an expected end for us. God has a plan to bring us to perfection. It's a set plan where if we go by the plan, if we follow the Lord like we should, if we obey his word, he'll bring us to the place. Thank the Lord. This is, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that. So in other words, you got sanctified. So this belief means truly following God.
Yes.
Amen. Now if you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll back up a little bit to verse 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but
did I put the word faith there?
Anyway. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back to perdition, but to them that believe, it goes again to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Now verse 6 says, now but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. There goes again. So faith and belief is intertwined. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So seeking God diligently is tied in with trusting and believing, right?
Yes.
So there is no substitute for seeking God diligently. We have to seek God diligently. It doesn't matter if you have a low IQ, illiterate, poor, disabled, but if you seek him diligently, you will have the reward. So anyone can go to heaven. The Bible says he would have all men to be saved. whoever. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. You seek him with your whole heart. So diligence is higher. Well, there's no substitute. We have to be diligent in our walk with the Lord. And we will prosper. We'll make it ahead. One scripture says one place, Peter says, wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to do what? To make your calling and election sure.
Yes.
Every one of us can make it. Every one of us can live a full, complete life to glorify God if we are diligent.
Yes, true.
Thank the Lord. Amen. So, 1 Thessalonians. Now these people are marvelous. That's the Thessalonians. Paul went in there and preached. Titus and Silas. And a whole lot of people got saved. Suddenly got saved. I mean truly got saved. It was a marvel. And things were going real good. In a little while the Jews came by and crashed the party and went out of town. I wonder, whoa, my goodness. What's going to happen to these people? So Paul wrote, because these people mean they were coming along real good. So Paul wrote to them. Verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Yeah. Because that you're... No, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. What is that? And labor. Work of faith and labor of love. What is work of faith? The Lord says one place where they ask him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So you remember the work of faith. How they were seeking, they took the word and they were running with it. Turned from their idols, they made things right, they got straight, they were just following the apostles. What is this they say doing? They were doing it. What a blessing. Paul says, well, remember your work of faith and your labor of love. Yeah. So there is a work of faith. That when we do our work of faith, we're going to grow in grace. Our work of faith is our relationship with God.
Yes.
Labor of love is with our fellow man, right? But there is a work of faith, and there's two parts. There's our part and there's God's part.
Yes.
Our 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. We notice that Paul did a whole lot of praying. Lord help us. He prayed for everybody a whole lot. It says, wherefore we also pray always for you, that God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. We talk about it in Ephesians chapter 1. He wants to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. God wants to fulfill the work of faith with power in our lives. Why? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you.
There it is.
So God has a definite work to complete in all of our lives. We got saved for a definite purpose.
Yes.
That God means to finish. The song we sung in high school says, finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crown before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. So God has a finished work
were planned for every one of us. Thank the Lord. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Now read of all these things, that God will do the work. You told Thessalonians, says that it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you feel like you can't attain to it, that's the devil is trying to deceive you. There is no way, even if you seek God with all of your heart consistently, that you will not attain to these works. Because the Bible says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, that come, what's the criteria? That come unto God by him. Praise God. John says one place, to him that hath loved us and washed us in his own blood and make us kings and priests unto our God. So Jesus can do the work. Thank the Lord. So it's in the hands of Jesus. He's the one who built the house of God, isn't it? That glorious house of God talk about. I just saw it. So in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. You tell about the glory of the house. One scripture says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. What a blessing. What a glorious institution. Thank the Lord. All right. Where are we now? Hebrews chapter 1. We are chapter 2, verse 1. Says, therefore we ought to give. Well, chapter 1 talk about who Jesus really is. And chapter 2 telling us now reason why we should give the more earnest heed. That therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's some focus, isn't it? But the word of God is that precious. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the thing which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape like they didn't escape back then? If we neglect, that's unbelief. If we neglect so great salvation, this is a great and wonderful salvation. This is real. If we seek God, we're going to have the blessings of God. But talk about glorious peace. Peace like those things are not just in the Bible. The Lord give these things. Thank the Lord. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. After that, we are sanctified now. God got some things he want to do for us. Because chapter 1, verse 13 said that they got sanctified, right? But Paul said, now, verse 16, Ephesians chapter 1, where verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you. What a blessing to see people saved and living for the Lord. But Paul was a wise master builder. He understood the will and purpose of God. He knew about God's growth, process, and development. So he taught the saints. So God made him a teacher and a preaching apostle of the Gentile. Thank the Lord. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Everyone who truly love and serve God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Yes.
So God wants to enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we might know knowledge. The Bible talks about knowledge, right? It's speaking about spiritual knowledge and understanding. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, what God actually did for us in the saints, what the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Thank God for Jesus. Set him at his own right hand in the heaven in places far above all principality and power and might and all these things. And what did they do? And it says he gave them to the church. Praise the Lord. So this is a glorious church. All is for the church? Yes. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. But there's a lot of ground to be gained, saints. There's a lot to learn from God. There's a lot to experience. A lot to enjoy and glory in the riches of the grace of our God. One more scripture in 2 Thessalonians. Did we read already? It says, where God would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now read over in Colossians chapter 1. Where Paul wrote again also says, verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Lord, help us to watch and to pray. Paul knew how very important what a prayer really was. Paul did a whole lot of praying in his lifetime, didn't he? To desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Here we go. So it's saying the same thing which you just read earlier, essentially, but just throw a little bit more light on the subject. That he might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Sometimes we look at the lives of the whole time saints, like Job. Seemed like they had something, didn't they? They understood the will of God. That he might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, glorify God in the heights. Yes. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now we're ready now to worship God. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says, giving thanks to the Father now. God is glorified. How does God feel when God looks and sees the children doing just this? Walking before him. We thank God for... I thank God for it. This book means a lot to me. In this book, there are people who knew the Lord. Walk with God. They could not have written those songs that they wrote unless they had experience. You don't trump those songs up. And as you sing those songs, they challenge you to higher heights and deeper depths. You marvel. The Bible did say that the ransom of the Lord shall return, right, and come to Zion. Didn't the Bible say that? With songs. So God gave us songs to go along with experience. And we have them to pass and down to us. They are a blessing to us. Yes, I said when I didn't know that this book existed when I came here. We had where I came from, the old Church of God hymnal. There was some of the songs in here. And I got me a little vision. I thought when I began to sing these songs. I said, whoa. It was enlightenment to my soul. A blessing. So that's why I said this book is precious to me. So God wants to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. He wants to know how to walk and to please him. So what he wants us to fill us, it says, with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom, and that's a whole lot of wisdom, isn't it? Is that necessary?
If we're going to go glorify God in the highest, yes. But all these things that God put into salvation and gave us apostles, what it says, pastors, for these very things, it says for the perfecting of the saints, right? Till we all come, goes to the knowledge, and it says one place, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Didn't he say that? So God has an expected end for us. He wants to grow up in all things in Christ. One of first Psalm says, so when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view. That whether or not they read the Bible, by your life, by our life, when they see Christ in us, they can glorify God in their visitation. Peter said, while they behold your chaste, well, while they behold your good works. Over here, it focuses on the wife saying, while the husband behold a chaste conversation. What does the word chaste mean? Above reproach, above everything right. Can we live like that? By the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus. The Bible says one place that they which receive the abundance of grace, God has everything planned. It says, he did this in all wisdom and prudence. He put it together. That we all can live a proper, holy life in this wonderful salvation. So, thank the Lord. Amen. All right. Where are we? We're not finished yet. In Colossians. Verse 21 says, and you that were sometime unsaved, alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Not just to say I'm saved, but it says to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Is that possible? That we can be holy and unblameable in God's sight? What are the words in when God looks upon you? Thank the Lord. But this is talking about what Jesus will do in us. But the condition is now, verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith. This is where this word comes in, diligent. It is not impossible at all. It's very possible and very likely if you continue in the faith. If we do exactly what the Lord said to do, and yes, we can do it by the grace of God. To present you in the body of his flesh, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. In other words, this is out of picture. That's true. We have to keep a steady gait in God. We have to keep on moving. The Bible says the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more onto the perfect day. So we have to press our way. Yeah. No matter what negative things come our way, you have to keep on pressing through it all. As we said, it's the cause. It's a cause. We have to live a life to glorify God. The Bible says, the Lord says one place now, as long as I'm in the world, I'm not out of the world. Is he in the world today? No. He said, no, ye now are the light of the world. Paul said one place, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So it's imperative that we shine. Thank the Lord. So if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard is preached unto every creature under heaven. Thank the Lord.
If you read the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says like about the same thing in other words as for Ephesians chapter 1. Again, the same word, diligence, is enjoined. So it says from verse 2 says grace. Well, verse 1 says, well, verse 2 says, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. There goes that knowledge again. Enlightenment. According as his divine power, he wrote, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that we need to glorify God is given to us by God's divine power. Now, Peter knew. Paul knew. They have been with Jesus. They know. They see, John said, we saw it. We saw the life. That life was laid before them in a human body in Christ Jesus. They saw it. And they know it. They know the standard. So Peter says, his divine power given to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. This is spiritual knowledge and enlightenment. God can teach us his ways. Says, let's go up to the mountain and he will teach us his ways, right? The going in there, the coming out, all these things. Teach us. Give to us all things that will call us to glory and virtue. There it is. Glory and virtue. Thank the Lord. It says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, how do we obtain promises? The Bible says by faith they obtain promises. This faith involves trusting, believing, being diligent. And this word believe means a consistent walk with the Lord. God says, he that believeth, right, hath everlasting life. So it must be something that we must be mean living for the Lord like Yeshua. So whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that when we obtain these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Yes. Mankind, partaking of divine nature, how is it possible? Jesus Christ, thank the Lord. Wonderful Savior. Amen. It says, and beside this now, giving all diligence. Now, there are people in life who are diligent in their business. I mean, they work long hours in the business and make sure and everything. Put all their eyes, cross their T's, and successful, so forth. They're lawyers who work in cases and they find a lot out on those cases. They're diligent. So, mankind, sometimes in their faith, are very diligent. But when it comes to the things of God, look out. But we have to, against all odds, apply ourselves diligently. But the apostles did this. Job said one place, when I gave all diligence, he wrote. Peter said he is going to be very careful to make sure that they remember these things. So these men practice what they preach. You come down to us today. Now there's a lot of distraction in our world. But we're to keep our mind, our eyes focused on the cause like we heard last night. This cause demanded all of our attention. The most important thing to take care of in my life is the matters of my soul. That's far more important than anything else in this world. Yes. Amen. God wants us to give diligence. Verse 10 says, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Jude says, now to him that's able to keep you from falling, Jude, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. So God can do the work. Able. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion, both now and ever. Amen. I want to read another scripture before we close over there in Ephesians chapter 3, the last verse.
We will see the fulfillment of this thing right here. Glory to God in the highest. Okay, he says, verse 20, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. So in every age since the church came into existence, God is glorified in the church by Christ Jesus. And the same Christ is alive today and can glorify God in us and through us. Amen. Pray for me, please.